The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy.
Whoa.
I don't see any
Whoa.
Reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 289 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by a cast of characters this week because this is our sixth anniversary show, so it's a celebration. So first Yay. Off, we have returning after a very long hiatus, none other than the WrestleCast, broadcast journalist himself, Magnum Prime. What's going on, Greg?
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Greg, I didn't know you were here.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
You're just so quiet.
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm used to being quiet anyway because I'm not the star of my family anymore anyway. Just the old man.
Look, Greg, that was like, wait a minute. I know this. I know that I come from somewhere. And this smooth voice came up. I was like, that's great.
So how's everything been going, man? How's the little one? How's the family lamb? How are you with the pandemic and everything?
There's a little bit of a COVID scare a couple weeks ago, but results came back negative. The little man, he's styling, profiling. Got him a little Ghostbusters outfit coming up for Halloween. Nice. So, you know, he's good. We'll do Ric Flair next year, but, you know.
That's what's up. Glad that you could join us for this anniversary show. Can't wait to chop it up with you. It's been a long time since we talked any type of wrestling when it comes to the WrestleCast broadcast journalist, Mr. Magnum Prime. We're also joined by none other than my SmackDown Matters co-host, also the creator of the Ladies Night WrestleCast, Miss Jade to the Max. How are you, Miss Jade?
Hello, friends. I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad that you could join me as well, join us for this anniversary show so we can have a lot of laughs and fun because, you know, the Ladies Night WrestleCast has been a big part of the WrestleCast over the last 6 years, and that was your brainchild. And you
know. I will drink to that. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. We're joined by Mr. Samuel Kalunga. He's going to provide our Raw cast report for us tonight. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Glad that you could be here. And Mr. Mo to the _ Reese. He went from being the sixth man to now he's in the starting lineup. So definitely appreciate Mo to the _. What's going on, Mo?
Not much. Just sitting in the background.
Well, like I said, I'm glad everyone could make it. We'll give a big shout out here at the beginning of the show to Miss Didi Jonay, the face that
Yay.
Runs the place. Unfortunately, she could not join us for this special occasion, but we are thinking about her. So shout out to Miss Didi. We did see her.
We'll accept this award on her behalf.
Right. We did see her in the hashtag Elias is back. So maybe she'll make her way back to the WrestleCast here soon. So shout out to Miss Didi. All right. So we've got everybody here. So there's been a lot of great moments here on the 6 years of the WrestleCast. So I just want to thank each and every person on this call for making this podcast what it has become over the last 6 years. Couldn't have done any of this without y'all, so I'm very appreciative, and I hope that this has been rewarding and fun and not too big of a waste of time each and every week. So definitely appreciate each and everybody on this call.
This is my social time during the week. What are you talking about? I don't even like people that much.
So we had a pay-per-view over this past weekend. We had Hell in a Cell, so we'll get into it. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to congratulate Miss J to the Max.
Hey, after 6 years, I finally won. Who you got?
Well, there was only four matches that we had.
It don't matter. The exactly. less matches, the more likely cheaper. I am to win. I've been bragging about this all year.
She was 4-0 as she got each and every single match right. So give a big shout out to you.
I mean, never mind all your like actual accomplishments. You're going to be telling everybody, you know, I won the who you got.
Sure did. I'm going to put that in my Twitter bio.
There you go. Winner of the Hell in a Cell who you got.
No matter That's what. Right.
We'll just send them the link to the episode so they can hear.
So we start with the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows, where we have R-Truth versus Drew Gulak for the 24/7 championship. Drew Gulak interacted with Little Jimmy at the start, and he attacked him, causing R-Truth to snap. They had some okay back and forth, and then R-Truth countered a pin into a roll-up of his own to retain the 24/7 championship.
Man, R-Truth went off after Drew punted Little Jimmy.
Yeah, you don't mess with Little Jimmy and live to talk about it.
Especially since he just got out of juvie, trying to turn his life around. That's what R-Truth said.
Yeah, he did say that.
Drew Gulak and R-Truth, they got some pretty good wrestling chemistry. I was surprised to see them work out and have a good match the way that they did, but I like it. I like it.
Drew Gulak can pretty much put in a good match for anybody when he gets the opportunity to do so.
That's true. That's true. Magnum Prime, did you get a chance to see this, or did you just tune in for the main show only?
I said no to the pre-show this time.
Okay.
I thought the main card was going to be much longer than what it ended up being, so I kind of made a mistake. I could have actually watched it this time and not like gotten gray hairs over it, so okay. That was my loss.
So speaking of the main card, we go right into the Hell in a Cell main show, and kind of controversial start for most people. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso for the Universal Championship in a Hell in a Cell I Quit match. So Roman started delivering spears and demanding that Jey quit. Jey had to resort to things like using a strap because he had to do more to put Roman down. When Jey didn't quit, Roman did the drive-by and he drop-kicked the steel steps into Jey's head. The ref wanted to call for the bell, but Roman stopped him. Roman went to crush Jey with the steel steps until Jimmy came out and begged him to stop. Jimmy got real, telling Roman he didn't have to act this way. Roman cried as he said, it's Josh.
it's Josh, Roman. Yeah.
It's Josh. They was using government names. It was serious.
So Roman cried as he said he didn't know who he was anymore. Roman grabbed Jimmy in the guillotine choke. Jimmy grabbed Jay's hand as he was being choked out, which basically brought Jey back from unconsciousness. Seeing his brother...
Yeah, he came to life, didn't he? I thought he was dead.
That was some anime-type stuff.
He just grabbed him, and all you see that look, that look of fear in his face. He's like, yo! I was like, what? And he just wakes up.
Seeing Jimmy in that position, Jey screams out, he quits, and Roman Reigns retains the Universal title, and now Jey Uso must become, in the words of Paul Heyman, an indentured servant to Roman Reigns.
It's kind of funny that they changed it up, because at first they were just saying he's out of the family, and now
they're
indentured servant.
No. That's the thing. It was, he did say that he would be out of the family if he didn't, submit to his demands and everything.
If he didn't bow
down. I thought that was a stipulation, like you gotta strip yourself of the Anoa'i name and everything.
That's what they kind of fixed it when they did the
You can't just be kicking people out of family they was born into.
He's like, who you think you is?
Who you think you that's right? Yeah. I just love how Jimmy comes out. I'm sorry, are we using governments? John comes out and like whole Jey, like he was like when they did Ricky. Every time they get in a match, they did that at Clash of Champions. But also, he was trying not to laugh too.
He's like, "This Joshua man,
laugh."
Dang it, Joe, it's Josh.
John and Josh.
Right.
Yeah, that was funny. It was good though. That was some good acting. I had my homegirl over here watching.
You're getting everybody.
like talking about, you know, talking about some stop this, Heyman. And Heyman's like, he won't listen to me.
Yeah.
So guys, I gotta say that, like, my mom was watching this with me, and like she goes back to, like, you know, the 70s, 80s wrestling or whatever. She hasn't watched any of this new stuff, but she was 100% in on this match.
Oh, it was a good match.
Good story.
She was just like, man. She was over here like poking me like, who do you think is going to win? I'm like, I didn't want to say nothing, but I was. No, see, she knows, she knows of Roman Reigns because I don't want to put all her business out there, but she goes to the doctor a lot. And in the doctor's office, they're constantly playing like health ads and stuff like that. And one of those is the spot where Roman and his daughter are singing I'm a Little Teapot.
Oh, okay.
So that's how she knows who that is.
Oh, okay.
And like she's like, are they really like related? I'm like, yeah, they're really cousins. And then that other one's his brother. And then, but she was like completely in to the point where like, she was even asking me when I came home Monday, hey, you want to watch Raw? I'm like, wow. I was like, Mom, Roman and his cousin don't come on Raw. They come on SmackDown.
Oh, she was all into it. She definitely like,
she ready. She like, hold on. Cut the this phone.
The funniest thing about this match was when they was trying to get him to stop and Roman shut the cage and said, hey, nobody leave it.
Wait, but he didn't have to look. I don't know if y'all saw on Twitter the ref that he tossed out of the ring. His kid's like, oh, Roman, I'm coming for you. The kid's like 6 years old. it was so cute. I was like, oh, this is a great promo. Is it a shoot? Is it, you know, what is it? But I had my homegirl watching it last night because as the Bears were, you know, depressing me, I just decided, hey, you want to watch Hell in a Cell? She likes Roman Reigns. And so I turn on the match and she's like, oh my God, this is so good. I need all the backstory. I'm like, girl, you got to like go back a couple months to get all the backstory. But now she's into it. I think she's slowly making her way back to being a wrestling fan. So,
oh, okay.
This is the reason why I had
a, I'll be converting people.
I had a big problem with why this match was first. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with the curtain jerker, and you know, it accomplished way more than most curtain jerkers would ever could. But I mean,
it was also the pacing as well. The pacing was more for main event,
right? If this would have been the last match, and that's how you go off the air, man, that would have had so much more. Just think, this is the first match, and people are already like, "Ooh, what's the backstory?" And you want to watch Raw. Imagine if it was the last thing they saw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like all three of these cell matches could have easily been last. Even like the Bayley and the Sasha match, which was my match of the night. But go ahead.
Right.
They could have put the Randy Orton Drew McIntyre match on a pre-show.
So the producer of this match was Michael Hayes. He produced this match.
OPS, huh?
Nice.
Yeah, this was really good. And
I didn't see any racism in the match.
And I like how it was like an I quit match that then turned into like a strap match. So yeah, they had some different
layers. I mean, he beat him like he forgot to take the chicken out the freezer like he told him to. I felt every hit. I was like, ooh, child.
No, when he said you're gonna get this work, I was like, oh, we taking this to URL now?
Yes.
Magnum Prime, how did you feel about, have you been following the build, or did you just catch this particular match in the back?
Yeah, I've been following the build to it. I thought it was a really good match. I just kind of hated the payoff or lead up to the finish because you knew what was going to happen. I think they could have got the same finish in a different technique, but I mean everybody did such a great job. You know, I'm not going to really complain about that.
Right. So, yeah, just the immaculate work from the very beginning of this storyline through to this Hell in a Cell match, and can't wait for the next chapter, which is, I guess, the Usos now being heels and being unofficially the Bloodline against their will. So we'll see what comes up next. The very next match, we had Elias versus Jeff Hardy. Elias avoided the whisper in the wind off the top. So Jeff Hardy was angry and he hit him with a guitar and he got disqualified. Nothing to see here, folks.
absolutely nothing. This could have been on the pre-show.
Exactly.
Next up, we had Otis versus The Miz for the Money in the Bank contract. Mm. John Morrison was acting up, so he got ejected. During the chaos, though, Tucker clocked Otis with the briefcase behind the referee's back. A shocked Miz covered Otis, and he won the Money in the Bank briefcase. So now The Miz is the rightful owner of the briefcase, and everybody was hoping and wishing and thinking that it's going to be a cash in later in the night based on The Miz's history, especially with Randy Orton being in the main event. Okay, so now, why they had to do Otis like that?
Look, it was only a matter of time before they pulled that.
Yeah,
like,
thank you.
Well, he was over a series.
If you really
why they got to do my man Otis like that?
Ooh,
Otis,
if you paid attention
to NXT,
if you paid attention to this main roster call up, you knew it was coming. Like when Tucker was trying to, he said, "You went when they got served." He was like, "You went trouble." You know, he wasn't saying like he trying to help him out. He was just like, "This is all you." So this was the whole build up. Talking about he got him to go talk to Mandy Moore. This is us coming on down the clock. I'm like, that's on my brain right now. Mandy Rose. So he said, he's like, I gave him the confidence to talk to Mandy Rose, and he was just saying everybody was all oldest, you know. So
we know a star when we see one.
Stop it.
He ain't a star no more.
Stop it.
Like, he lost his girl, he lost his briefcase, he lost his best friend, but he is going through.
He's trying to get that smoke after the match, though. He wanted that smoke after the match, but Tucker took off running.
Yeah,
Tucker. Oh, baby.
Not here, not now. Next up, we had.
Oh, but hold on, real quick. So that it was an error on the website. They said they had Tucker still on as a SmackDown superstar, and everyone's like the dirt sheets was thinking, oh, Tucker's not going to go to Raw, but they said he's still going to be a Raw superstar, and they're still going to do the storyline with those two going forward. So, separate brands, but it's still going to be that beef between those two.
Well, it's Survivor Series, so they can get away with it.
Yeah, it's true.
They can get away with it. The Boss, Sasha Banks, took on the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, in a Hell in a Cell match. Sasha with a Bayley to belly onto a ladder, but that isn't enough. Sasha had to put the bank statement on a plot with a chair around Bayley's head. Sasha stomped on the chair until Bayley tapped out. And we have a new SmackDown Women's Champion. And she is Sasha Banks.
I did like the part where like Bayley was trying to make that like really, really long Kindle stick with the tape.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get the tape undone. She was like asking the ref for help. And he's like, no, I'm not going to help you.
That was funny. The long stemming beef between Bayley and Michael Cole has been good. It's been great too over the summer.
Yeah, because
I do like that time. That time that like when Bayley was beating up Sasha, and she was like, "What time is it now, Michael Cole?" Huh?
It's the fact that she can hear him during the match, and she can
nobody in the
because there's nobody.
Yeah, she can hear his commentary, and then some things just set her off, and she just starts looking across and starts talking to him like mid match. Bayley was the first one to kind of in WWE to kind of figure that out. Like, you know what? If the more audible I am during these matches, the more entertaining they'll be with no crowd.
Yeah,
she's been carrying SmackDown. I'm glad she's going to get a little break now because I know her back hurt too.
So, yeah, just a great callback to their Brooklyn match with the way that, you know, she was stomping on the hand. The Meteoras.
The one against the cage, that looked brutal.
Yeah, somebody said that Sasha was out here doing AM1 Meteors. In the live tweet. Just a lot of great stuff going on in this match. Definitely, if you said this was your match of the night, I would have no complaints about it.
It was great. I hope they give her a nice run and don't just take it off her after a month.
We'll see.
Surprise.
We'll see. Magna Prime, get your thoughts on this before we move on.
Yeah, I mean, they worked in incredibly hard during that match. And, you know, I was legitimately concerned with some of those spots that they were taking. Cause I was like, man, you know, especially given the history that Sasha has had.
Yes.
But they put in some great work. And, I mean, spoiler alert, that was my favorite match of the night. But looking forward, I hope they do keep the belt on Sasha for a good period of time. But that was definitely a great way to get to that point.
And Sasha finally won a still match.
Yes.
She's going to knock down all the barriers with this title run because her hair matches the title. So.
Yes. Because she already started with knocking out, well, verbally, Booker T. So.
Booker T, the number one who's been getting dogged.
He was getting into it in the pre-show with Jeff Jarrett for some reason.
He was getting to everybody.
I think that goes back to their TNA or actually WCW time.
It was WCW because he had made a mention about him winning the championship and who was something.
Because I just said something and I don't know what it was about that sentence. It seemed really benign, but Booker T was like, "Don't start with me, Jeff." I was like, "Damn, what happened?"
Booker has a lot of heat.
Booker T was on Talking Smack on Friday, and to
like that sounded legit. That was sounding like legit. Like, don't start with me, champ.
They had Bianca Belair up there, and so he was like, you know, I would offer some advice to what you need to do to get to the top and continue your success here. But he was like, every time I tried to give somebody advice, you know, it seemed to backfire. So he was like,
just shut up and eat his food then.
No, because he was starting to talk about, like, he was trying to help out the Young Bucks back in the day, and they were like, nah.
So he was like, so I just had to do it in private. He was like, I can't go out here and do it in front of everybody because, you know, the internet be giving me a hard time. And then so Sasha Banks comes on there like right after Binky. And as soon as she sits down, she's like, so what do you got to say, Booker? And she just starts like, she's like, yes, I am the boss. I am this. I am that. I am this. I am that. And
it's like, I'm better than you. I made more history than you. Yeah, it's
like, is there anything else you'd like to say, Booker? And he just like, shut up. It's like.
And Montez Ford and Kayla, they were just quiet. It's like,
yeah, he wasn't saying nothing. And then on the pre-show, he had said, I don't like Sasha Banks. And he said, I don't care if anybody. He said, y'all can put down the internet or something like that. I was like, oh, yes.
Didn't he say something about Naomi, too? See, he always talking
smack. Yeah.
Oh, Corey, wasn't it?
No, that was
Booker.
Booker actually, wow. See, now we about to fight.
All the black
talent. Always got something to say about the black talent.
Mm. But Mark Henry, he gives out good advice and everything. Yeah, they help them out. Booker T be trying to tear folks down. They just like, you know what? Don't talk to me.
That's why I'm like, listen to him.
Match that was made in the pre-show, Mustafa Ali offered up anyone from Retribution besides himself to go.
Wait, I forgot. I thought that was like on Raw last night.
No, that was the pre-show.
I forgot about that match.
That was made in the pre-show for that show. They needed to fill in, you know, time between the cell matches.
I didn't
mean
to disrespect the Hurt Business like that, but they deserve better. Just saying.
So Bobby Lashley steps up and he says, on top of it, he'll put up his United States Championship. So we have Bobby Lashley versus Slapjack.
I did like when they were like, who should we face? And I don't know, but Shelton Bobby Benjamin was
the
like,
who
wants a lame mask?
Bobby Lashley won easily by using the Hurt Lock to retain the United States Championship.
He slapped that Hurt Lock on. That was all she wrote.
Yep.
Yes. No contest. So that brings us to our main event. Yes, Magnum Prime. This was a extremely short pay-per-view.
I feel asleep during this
match. They lost me, and I was like, "This still going." And so, like, I got up and started making dinner, and yeah.
So, Pat Buck and Tyson Kidd were the producers for the women's self match for Sasha and Bayley. They were the main producers for that match.
Oh, Tyson
Kidd. How you be knowing all this inside information, Mo?
Listen, I read.
You be all over the interwebs.
Even, hey, it gives compelling information. Come on now.
I appreciate
he's a,
it.
He's Mo Meltzer over here.
Are you on the AEW payroll?
He's working on his match 7 stars.
I'm glad that Tyson Kidd is in the company, man. I'm glad to hear that he's working backstage in a capacity like that.
Yeah.
And helping people have tremendous matches since he can't have them anymore.
It's just Kidd on himself.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of owe him. It's like,
yeah, they do.
I kind of don't like how they've been doing my man Pat Buck lately. They've been kind of publicly on the show. And I am still giving him shit.
I don't remember him ever being a wrestler, though. I must have not been watching or the promotion he was in or something, because I've never seen
him. He was around the indies for a while. Like, yeah, I remember him.
Okay.
And he shivers when Nia comes around.
Quintessential R would, too, but for totally different reasons.
Yeah.
So, oh, and for this main event, Chris Park, a.k.a. Abyss, he was the producer for this match.
Okay. No wonder it might not have lived up to the expectation. That name doesn't have the same cachet that those other ones you said did to me. But Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship versus Randy Orton in their Hell in a Cell match. Kind of slow going, plodding along, typical Randy Orton match until they found their way out of the cell. Orton climbed up to the top. Drew followed. The fight continued up there. So, of course, Randy Orton is like, oh, man, you're getting the best of me, so I'm going to climb down the other side. So, of course, they climb down the other side, and the, you know, obligatory table bump happens from Drew McIntyre. So he wipes out the announce table. He's bleeding internally. Back inside, they tease it's SummerSlam finish, but Orton kicked out, and then he rolled to the outside after eating the Claymore. Orton eventually avoided another Claymore, and he wins the WWE Championship with the RKO. So Randy Orton is your new WWE champion.
We also got to see something very rare here. Orton was wearing pants to begin the match.
He was fully clothed.
He pulled a James St. Patrick. He had to sneak him with the all black.
Yeah.
And then he went up there and pulled a Tai Chi by ripping the pants off.
Yeah, this match was
underwhelming.
Yeah, this match was slow, and it didn't have nearly the goodness that the ambulance match had from Clash of Champions.
It didn't. It was another thing. Kim Orton, Randy's wife, was posing with the title of nice little Instagram photo shoot with the title after the event was over. She was posing everything like she won the championship.
Oh, so she's still trash, even though Randy has converted himself into being less trash than he was?
I mean, what Greg said, 1% less racist, he's 1% less trash.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so now we're back. Randy Orton has his 14th WWE title run in the company, tied with Triple H for second most in history.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you notice that, like, Booker T gave himself a 6th championship?
Oh, no.
I'm guessing he counted the TNA title. No, because now he's like, I'm a 6-time champion.
He did win the 6 times.
Well, he won the TNA title. I guess he's counting that.
No,
nobody watched that, Booker.
No, he did win it once in the WWE. I think the big gold title, he won it once or something like that. But he goes by the 5-time.
Yeah, he was when they brought it back, they gave him the WCW title.
So that's what.
But I think that was a carryover from the old WCW days, because he won it on the last day of episode of
19. Yeah, he did. Because he was already talking about 5-time, and then now he was like talking about 6 times. I was like, man, go ahead.
Too late.
But I don't know if y'all saw the graphic. It showed the Evolution graphic, and it showed Flair had 16, Triple H, and Randy had 14, and Batista sitting down there with 6.
You got that money movie, though.
And so
you got that movie Orton, money.
So Randy Orton says 3 legends and an actor.
Aw, that's so shady.
And but wow. Like you said, Batista getting that Marvel money, so. And
yeah,
he probably get that Gears of War money too.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be Marcus Fenix, right?
Yeah.
Which is, doesn't make sense because it was already a Marcus Fenix already. Like, is he actually gonna do like the
Sam? It's 2020.
It got his face.
They got his face and everything. Voice, like,
yeah.
So how are they gonna explain that? Oh, he had surgery.
I have no idea. I just know I saw the commercial and everything for it, and I was like, oh, okay.
So all in all, 2 out of 3 Hell in a Cell matches, I think, were very good, very compelling, high drama. The third one, a little lackluster, and then we had three filler matches in between. So, you know, it was a quick pay-per-view, thankfully. And, you know, we got to see at least one title change, and we got to see some really good family drama play out. So
that was good.
Alpha and Sika, what they gave him the chief.
Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, Alpha and Sika, the patriarchs of the Samoan dynasty, came out after the Roman match and gave him the senior highest lay you could get or whatever. So he's like,
he the high chief now.
Yeah,
you notice like they both have the same one too. So I guess they're all three up there now.
They said we ain't giving it up, but we can share it with you. You can sit here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but
now if this really is just the first little nugget in getting The Rock versus Roman at Hollywood,
that's gonna happen.
That would be fantastic.
Sam, if they give The Rock a big enough check, it'll happen.
No, but think about this though. He goes and makes some movies. He's gonna get hurt doing a wrestling match.
Gonna get hurt wrestling Roman.
He ain't gonna get hurt.
He got hurt wrestling Brody Lee.
Well, he did get hurt yesterday lifting something. So
yeah, maybe. He busted his
how do you do that?
He busted his head or something like that.
Oh boy.
Well,
it was a little scratch.
Yeah, that's just a gym accident. That's nothing. That's nothing.
I mean, I be lifting and I don't get hurt at the gym, so I don't know what he was doing. His form was wrong or something. I don't know.
Bang it.
Oh, that's shots. The comments made here are that of Jade.
Well, look, Dana said the same thing on Sunday. He's like, you gotta make that disclaimer.
Gotta have disclaimers. I don't have money to be trying to defend no losses. Or
we all getting shut down.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're WrestleCast episodes, man. Jay got to shut down.
Get a cease and desist.
Right. We ain't got enough.
From Garcia Agency or whatever his wife's ex-wife's agency name is.
We need a
couple, baby mama.
Couple of 100,000 patrons to fit that bill.
Listen, we working on it.
So, does anybody else want to throw in some lasting impressions of Hell in a Cell before we move on to Monday Night Raw?
No, I thought it was those two matches were great.
Yeah,
the two that matter. And I'm glad they gave them time too. Like that first match was like what, 45 minutes?
It was
up there because when I looked at the, it was almost done. It was like 8:40, almost.
Yeah,
they got some good time. Well, I mean,
they had to tell the story, you know.
Yeah, if you include the pre like. Background stuff, so it's probably like Sam said, maybe like 35 minutes. But
yes, sir, Magna Prime, you have a question?
I do have a question. Why should I care if Randy Orton is a champion? I mean, I get
he's a transitional champion.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but I'm really just you
Greg.
Know.
This is the build up.
After what he did to the Miz on Raw, I don't think he's gonna be a champion anytime soon either.
Vince McMahon we're talking about.
True.
And we already know, and they're building up to a rematch of a certain match that took forever to finish out this year at WrestleMania.
Well,
a certain cinematic match.
Oh God!
Which one was that? Because WrestleMania was 2 days, and I forget what the hell happened.
That was this was day two. This was Orton and Edge.
Oh yeah, because he is still feuding with Edge.
Oh,
they still have unfinished business.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. WrestleMania was a doozy.
This match never happened or whatever.
WrestleMania was a doozy. Vince is like, instead of 8 hours, it's like, nah, bro. Like, no, I don't have 2 days.
That's what happens when Vince McMahon watches too much New Japan. He's like, I can do that too.
Yeah, what you can do, I can do better. No, sir.
I want a match between Kim Orton and Beth Phoenix. See, now that's a match I watch. Okay. Beth will beat her ass.
Magna Prime, before we move on to Raw, did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I did watch a little bit of it.
All right. So
not the entire piece of gold.
We'll keep you around for as long as you can then. So we'll move on to Mr. Samuel Kalunga, and he'll tell us about Monday Night Raw.
Live from where, Sam?
Monday Night Raw, live from the Amway Center. Oh, I'm sorry, the Thunderdome. Let's see here. Drew McIntyre comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo.
As always,
he talks about losing his title. Words can't express what you mean to me, even though you're gone. We're still with you.
Sam, we've missed you.
He quotes the movie Rocky. He says he seems to be in good spirits despite losing his title, but if you read his mind right now, he'd be scared. Mr. Money in the Bank Miz comes down with John Morrison. Drew says he will drop both where they stand, but they continue to mess with him and even take over the stage for a moment. Drew is getting irritated. They say even if Drew had won, he still would have lost his title anyway because Miz would have cashed in. Drew keeps his promise and drops both men. let's see. Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles. Survivor Series qualifying match. The match ends when AJ rams Jeff into the post on the apron and hits a phenomenal forearm. After the match, Elias attacks Jeff Hardy with a guitar, leaving him laying. Anything on that match?
Hold on, Greg. What you think about Tall Bruce Leroy accompanying AJ?
I don't have the words.
Because you're a ninja, that's why.
I don't have the words.
So you know he came in, he was in a class that had me and Yim, the other Hispanic dude.
Jake Atlas.
He's Filipino.
No, the other one who had the bit part in that whole Ray and
Umberto.
Yeah, that he came up in that class with all of them. That was like a couple years ago, something like that.
He's barely getting on the roster now.
They say his wrestling is not that good, so.
Oh well, I mean you can push him as a big man. There's no problem.
He had the tall ninja gimmick that he was about to, so. Now he's AJ Styles' friend.
He got tired of shooting that shit. Okay, so is there anything more on that one? Has anyone listened to the Elias album?
I was going to listen to it and then come and say something about it, but it kind of
passed. My girlfriend said it was all right, and I don't know, it's not very high praise.
I'm saying, I feel like him and Jeff should have had like a guitar, like,
Jeff should have shred that guitar.
Jeff plays too. They should, like, to promote the album, they should have had, instead of a match, they should have just had like
a verse.
I said it on the they should have had a versus.
See? A versus that we all could have tuned into.
I like hinted at that during the SmackDown Matters, but Don thought it was funny. But I was being serious. It would have been better than that match.
Definitely would have been longer.
Like the double one down to Georgia.
Listen, it would have been good. Jeff plays.
Sponsored by
Elias plays. Look, sponsored by Tito's Vodka. Did you know Jeff? He like, you know.
That ain't cool.
I'm going to get us kicked off the Apple podcast. I'm sorry. I'm muting my mic now.
Your cease and desist letter will come hand-drawn by Jeff's stupid scribbles.
No, Matt Hardy will deliver it. He's going to teleport there and say, here you go.
He's going to say delete. That's it.
With his 2003 jeans that he wears.
Yes.
Those are the same jeans from the Attitude Era, both of them. But continue.
No, like the ones that he wears.
Hashtag fashion cast.
Affliction jeans. He's still rocking those Affliction jeans.
I mean, if they still fit, Sam.
I mean, hey, Eddie Kingston still dresses like it's 1998, so what's the deal?
I mean, Mickey James still dresses like it's 2006.
I'm convinced Eddie Kingston still lives in 1988 in his apartment.
Eddie Kingston lives when Tupac was around, because he still talks about Tupac like he was, like he's
like it just happened yesterday. Like, RIP my boy Tupac. Have you seen Eddie Kingston's Twitter page? It looks like it straight up looked like something that somebody would have had in like 1988. Like, if Twitter was around in 1988, his Twitter bio would have been, that's what it would have looked like.
Oh, so he's committed. Okay, all right.
I don't think it's a gimmick.
Either watch Being the Elite, and you see his bits on there and everything, you'll be like, okay.
All right, so interview robot number 3 interviews R-Truth. He says he's going to the ring to scout his competition. And she's like, do you think that's a good idea?
He said he lives, his middle name is Dangerously or something.
Oh, yeah, his middle name is.
He said he ain't hiding no more.
All right, so Lucha House Party versus Akira Tozawa, Andrew Gulak. During the match, R-Truth comes out. Akira Tozawa rolls him up for a 2-count. Grand Metalik dives, but he misses. Lindsay Dorado goes for a pin, nothing. Drew Gulak goes for a pin, nothing. Lindsay Dorado splashes Drew Gulak because, remember, we're still having a match. And gets the pin for the tag team match. But everyone is trying to pin Truth. Truth eventually runs away with everyone chasing him. Let's see. Okay. So, next segment, I hereby invoke the Firefly Funhouse rule. If you want to talk
about it. You know, it's a Firefly Funhouse, Sam. It's so, like Pee Wee's Playhouse, but for adults.
It's just
Firefly in Wonderland. poor Rambo.
Oh, he wore that stupid hat, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was.
I love the Firefly Funhouse. Ray is so cheerful.
Jazz Jack Rabbit or whoever there is in there.
Say again.
I don't know. I'm just being stupid.
No, I think Sister Abigail is hating on Alexa because she did clearly say off of her head.
Sister Abigail, listen, it's a whole.
Sister Abigail was hating on Alexa.
Like we have here. So we have our own Firefly Funhouse. See?
All right, so y'all want to talk about that? Y'all feel free. I'm gonna...
Oh, no, that's all it was. It was just.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss poisoned Ramblin' Rabbit, killed him as usual.
That's messed up.
Yeah, more death than Kenny.
Yeah, but Kenny always come back. Does the rabbit always come back to him?
He comes back too, but then, you know, he got killed again by Bray.
Yeah, then Bray put the mallet to him. Dang.
He don't deserve that. But continue, Sam. We sorry.
Charlie interviews Keith Lee. He says Braun couldn't beat him clean, so he took the coward's way out. Keith says he will show him who the real monster is. But not tonight.
Oh, Suki now.
Elias is the opponent tonight. Adam Pearce is wandering around backstage. Nia Jax and Shayna stop him. Nia says she has compiled a list as team captain on who should be on the women's side of the Survivor Series match.
I should become team captain.
Shayna presents her own list, and the two bicker because they hate each other.
And they left each other off the list. They're like the new odd couple.
Like, who crowned one or the other the captain?
That's the point. Nia just said it because that's just the way Nia
is. And Shayna just said it too, and then she said, did you leave me off your list? And she was like, wouldn't you like to know? And rolled her eyes in a sexy way. I was like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, they
gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yep. That's how the storyline should end. They just go and do stuff.
So yeah, and Pierce said he was going to take that into consideration and he would get back to him.
Alrighty, so Keith Lee versus Elias. Survivor Series qualifying match. Elias comes down, his usual guitar strumming. Keith Lee interrupts, thank the Lord. Match. Wrestle. Elias climbs to the top turnbuckle. Jeff Hardy's music plays. Elias is distracted.
Oh, take a sip.
Oh, he pulls him down. The bottle is gone, Don.
Keely pulls him down, gives him a spirit bomb for the win. Jeff Hardy comes in after the match and hits the lights with the guitar.
Remix.
It looks like TNA is having another Jeff Jarrett guitar sale. Oh, like for real, because like after he had left, they put all his guitars on clearance for like 75% off on their website.
That's next.
If I got Jeff one of those, I would definitely have to find somebody to hit across the back with.
You could pay someone to do that, you know. When I was in high school, I paid this kid $50 to let me put him through a table.
I'm sorry, what, Sam? You did what?
When I was in high school, there was this kid that got on my nerves. And I gave him $50 to let me put him through a table.
So how did you put him through a table?
In there? And how did you put him through the table? Was it like a choke slam? Was it a pedigree? Oh, powerbomb.
Was it $50 well spent?
Oh yeah, definitely. He got up. He was annoying.
Good job, sir.
Did the table deserve it? That's what I want.
We're gonna ask that question again later on.
It's one of those post tables, you know, like one of those that you just have out there, and it's just like not doesn't serve any purpose except look like clutter.
Also, was asking for it.
Yeah, there you go. It was gotcha. Getting on. It was kept on. It wouldn't stop. All right, so the Hurt Business is backstage. They bully some guy on the way to the bathroom.
Yo, that dude like a
Dallas. They're not the Hurt. The Hurt Business. They're not bullies. They are businessmen. So Sam, don't disrespect them like that and say they were bullying. They were having a very stern conversation with someone.
And then the dude tried to use that bathroom, and he was like, "You ain't asking to use our bathroom."
Exactly.
All right, Charlie interviews Randall Orton. She wants to know that Randall is concerned that the Fiend may make an appearance on A Moment of Bliss. He says he's not concerned. The only people who should be concerned are those who cross Randall Orton. All right, here's everyone's favorite part of the night. The Hurt Business versus Retribution. MVP says everyone ran and hid from Retribution except for the Hurt Business. They say they struck a deal with WWE if they take Retribution out. Shelton says they expect their payment in gold. During the match,
sorry, is it 1943 in gold?
I love
the way the economy is going. You might want to have some of that,
right?
Yim climbs up on the apron. It climbs up. What the hell did I write? Climbs up on the apron. Her new name is Reckoning, apparently.
Who, Mia Yim?
Yes, yeah. Reckoning.
No, you know, they should
have. I originally wrote Recognize. So that'll be her new name for me.
Is she not the HBIC no more? Dang.
Nope.
Vince just be ruining everybody. Ruining their music. Ruining their character.
Someone, while she's on the floor, someone yells, Bia.
I thought it was Shelton Benjamin.
They need to be part of the Hurt Business because she is a bunch of jobbers, with the exception of Mustafa.
In the process, MVP is distracted and gets... Oh, he's distracted. That's another one.
I told you, I don't have nothing else. I mean, I do, but I have to get up. The bottle been gone. But
hey, how big was the bottle, girl?
It was a bottle of champagne. Okay, it's not all the way gone, but it's all in my cup.
All right.
So it's going to be all the way gone.
All right, during commercial, we are shown that Recognize was faking her meth withdrawals.
Oh, that's what y'all are talking about.
Yeah, because it was distraction. Because they go off sitting around looking, and the next thing you know, MVP gets rolled up.
No, but I meant like that y'all meant when you're talking about the dark match means
everything. Oh, she's having a
scribe, so they can listen to the dark
match. Oh, she started shaking and like scratching her arms and stuff. Like she like
is it her or was it meth? Which is
going to
be?
No, it's the result of going to the methadone clinic earlier.
That's a meth thing. That's a meth withdrawal. I've seen it happen. Come on, like look where I grew up. I mean, it's all over the place here.
Hey, it's all over the place everywhere. Just say no, kids. The dad program was there for a reason. Not to give us t-shirts.
I still have my certificate. I actually scanned it and posted it online one time. Let's see. T-Bar and Bob are counted out as they fight on the outside. Shelton eliminates Mace. Ali is all alone. Eventually, Ali hits Cedric with a chair, which leads to a disqualification. Shelton gets mad and goes after Ali. However, Bob and MVP come out. Ali runs away through the virtual crowd.
He took off. I think he owed them money.
I'm looking forward to that Cedric Ali one-on-one match.
That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Angel Garza tries to make the moves on Mandy backstage. When she shuts him down, Angel tries to hit on Dana. Did y'all notice what Mandy said when he asked about Otis? She was like, oh yeah, we're still close.
Yeah.
If I was watching this, I'd be like, hey, whoa. Wow, we still close. So I don't know if that was just like a slip up, or if they're actually trying to
keep it going, like keep that going on. Because she said they was gonna be long distance. And I'm like, never mind. I said, you're still in this. Y'all still in the same. Y'all still in the same building, but just on different days.
Different days, yeah. So when she shuts it down, Angel tries to hit on Dana. He sees Naya and he's mesmerized. Quan better watch out for Quan, because
Quan goes run up on him.
He's in Florida. He lives out there too, so you better watch out.
No, Quan's in.
Angel Garza is a straight up Pepe Le Pew.
I saw you posted that.
He's a ladies' man.
Or so is Pepe Le Pew.
He was, and he stank. I see where you're going, Don.
And then when the one cat tried to get at him, he was running from her.
Let's see. Naya says she has business with Mandy and Dana. She gets rid of Angel, but she takes his rose first. Let's see. The two teams bicker. More crap. Drew McIntyre versus the
Miz. Hold up. Just finish that off. They announced who the two teams was going to be.
That's later.
Yeah, but that's Shayna had looked at Nia and said, really, Angel? You know, he said, really, Garza? And she was like, yeah, why not? And she just walked off in disgust.
It was funny, though.
It was funny because Shayna was hating because she didn't get a rose. Never mind. I'm just joking.
Trust me, she's okay.
It was funny to me.
I understand what you're saying, but come on.
All right.
So Drew McIntyre versus The Miz. Let's see. This match goes three steps. Drew pounds on The Miz. Miz makes a comeback. Drew kills Miz in the match.
Did he get the briefcase back? That briefcase went way by the Pavro.
He did toss it.
He took it and just threw it. And I was like, yo, where is it at? I knew it just landed. I don't know where it exactly landed, but it was like by the Pyro things or like whatever.
Man, why have they reduced John Morrison to like a manager?
Man, it's so disappointing.
It should be him, and Miz should be the sidekick.
Exactly. Now he's basically
like Miz down now, pretty much.
If this was Lucha Underground, we wouldn't be dealing with this right now.
Listen, Lucha Underground, freaking John Morrison and I keep calling him Prince Puma, but Ricochet would be doing much more than what they're doing right now.
I know, but we can't go back in time.
I know.
Sadly.
All right, so New Day are dressed like the Street Profits, including Xavier Woods wearing a Burger King crown.
I really like this promo. That was the only thing I saw from Raw. Honestly,
Xavier tells him, never go full Dawkins, only halfway.
Because I remember when Dawkins fell asleep during that promo?
Yeah.
Asuka interrupts. She says, we want the smoke, which I never thought I'd hear from her. The rundown of Survivor Series. This is better than Sean Mooney's Coliseum home video update.
Wow.
Her business to interrupt. Shenanigans occur. New Day and Asuka dance and chant New Day Rocks.
But the MVP told them that they had their eyes on those tag team championships. So I'm assuming that that's Cedric and Shelton. So I'm just put Cedric in all the matches. Cedric and Shelton versus Xavier and Kofi? Yeah, sign me up. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, especially now that they got rid of Retribution, now they can have any title match they want.
Yep.
All right, so Drew McIntyre walks backstage. Charlie jumps out from behind a pallet and scares him. He mentioned Randall Orton's appearance on a Moment of Bliss, and that's pretty much it. All right, so Adam Pearce and Pat Buck are in the ring. They're going to announce the female participants in the Women's Survivor Series match on the Raw side. Of course, it goes as planned. Nia and Shayna, Mandy and Dana, Commentary mentions Manly and Dana are undefeated. Note that they've only had like 3 matches.
You have to play who's on your schedule.
Nia and Shayna bicker because they hate each other. Adam Pearce says the final member will be settled in a fatal 4-way between Lana, Maga Evans, Peyton Royce, and Nikki Cross.
What, I'm sorry, no, who Evans? Evans. Okay. Like, who is Maga Evans?
You know who Maga Evans is.
I didn't even know she was in the match.
No Naomi, no James, nobody important.
Yeah, where's Mickey James?
Mickey James had a broken nose.
She got hurt, right?
She broke something else again. She just came back from injury.
Well, it's better than she did in TNA. She died.
Oh, yes, she did.
Oh, boy.
James Storm. James Storm
threw her like, in the train tracks.
Oh, my gosh.
And killed her. She was tweeting. She was tweeting later that night about her concert. I was like, oh, she's alive.
Speaking of James Storm, didn't he come back?
Yeah, he was he was in that match. That call your shot match. Yeah.
Okay.
That's more certain.
I want to be your money here, Ian. That's all I want.
He was supposed to be signed to the E. He was going to sign. He was going to
get some matches, and then he's like, "Yeah, I'm out."
No, but he was supposed to have signed before the but then the pandemic hit and everything got canceled.
Well, I mean, you can say that about anything. I was going to win $1 million, but the pandemic hit.
Man, he was going to get beer money in WWE. NXT,
bro, hopefully. All I want is beer money with Jackie. That's all I want. Give me that and I'll be happy. All right, so beer money had a bomb theme song too.
They did.
All right, so Lana. Oh, yeah, Lana versus Maga Evans versus Peyton Royce versus Nikki Cross.
Okay.
Lana wins. Nia embraces Lana, but doesn't let go. She puts it through a table for the 6th week in a row. You should learn by now.
Get the tables, honey.
She went over there and embraced her. And I was like, you know what's going to happen, Lana. Why are you there? And as soon as she just turned around, she looked at Shayna and said, get the table. I was like, number 6. She don't miss.
She's just toughening her up. That's all.
Right.
She's getting her ready for Survivor Series because clearly the SmackDown women's team is superior to the Raw women's team.
Yeah, you already know. Come on.
I'm like, Lana? Really, gal?
All right, Charlie interviews Randall Orton. He's concerned that Randall may get attacked tonight by the Fiend. He says he's not afraid of the Fiend, and he's going to introduce him to the 3 most dangerous letters in WWE, which is RKO. Ali and Retribution cut another poorly lit promo.
Poorly lit.
Yeah. All right, Matt Riddle versus Sheamus.
Sheamus, of course, coming off a fantastic matchup against Kofi Kingston, one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions last week on Raw, and plus his brutal rivalry with SmackDown's Big E, the other third of the New Day. And Riddle right back on that double wrist lock. Uh-oh. Sheamus with the Irish Curse backbreaker.
There is no substitute for unbridled power that Sheamus brings to the equation.
And Joe, now you look at the demeanor of Sheamus using the top rope to his advantage. He's done playing around.
Oh, yes, he is. I mean, he realizes how dangerous his opponent is.
Oh, gosh.
And this is the best way to deal with dangerous opponents.
Went for the beats of the Bower, and it was hammering the chest. And now look at this.
He's searching for that armbar.
Under the count of 5 to break it up, and Riddle using the bulk of that count. Very wise there in that situation against Sheamus.
Oh.
Sheamus hard to the outside.
Riddle about to follow.
Riddle, with a PK right to the chest.
Riddle thinking now.
Take it to the sky.
Riddle for the middle rope.
This is not a sight you want to see if you're Matt Riddle, Sheamus.
Sheamus took an extreme measures.
Oh. Oh, the 270-pounder, Sheamus caught up on the top turnbuckle. Not his usual territory. It's Matt Riddle there to meet him. What a battle here inside WWE Thunderdome. Who's going to move on to Survivor Series?
Whoa, Riddle's back up.
Riddle undaunted, meeting Sheamus on the top rope.
He's got him hooked.
Oh, and the exploder off the top turnbuckle. Cover. to join Team Raw. By Sheamus. Riddle felt it. Riddle knew he had Sheamus beat. And yet it still wasn't enough. This has been one of the most brutal matches we've seen in a long time here on Monday Night Raw. Oh, and the back gave out. Bro kick by Sheamus. Cover. The Celtic Warrior is added to Team Raw.
Here is your winner, Sheamus.
This was a fight between Sheamus and Matt Riddle, and Sheamus found a way to survive. Two pummeled each other, and for it, Sheamus is now the third entrant on the Team Raw. Two more opportunities are yet to be determined, but as of now, it's Styles, Keith Lee, and Sheamus representing Raw at Survivor Series.
This was cool.
Yeah, that was actually a good match.
All right, so I didn't cheer up Don to watch the rest of the Elixir Bliss segment, so take it to the bridge.
Oh, well, basically, Alexa Bliss comes out. She introduces Randy. Randy comes out. Alexa Bliss brings up, the Firefly Funhouse. I mean, the compound, and the match and everything like that. But basically, it's kind of like a trap because then Drew McIntyre comes out. And then they have this huge brawl and they're fighting all around everywhere. And so Randy Orton decides, oh, it's too hot in the kitchen, so I'm going to go up the ramp. And as soon as he starts to go up the ramp, of course, lights go out, music starts playing, it's The Fiend, it's all red. Randy knows The Fiend is behind him. He doesn't even turn around. So he just was like, well, damned if I do, damned if I don't. So he goes back to continue fighting with Drew. And that's basically how the show ends, with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre just brawling, with The Fiend kind of like standing in the distance.
Just watching.
Yeah. Just observing.
Apparently, after the cameras stopped rolling, Drew stabbed Randy in the eye with a pen.
With a pen?
A pen.
A pen?
Okay.
I'm talking about.
What did he get? Was it under the ring? Under the garbage?
Yeah, it might have been either Saxons, Samoas, or Tom Phillips, but he stabbed him in the eye with a pen.
Was it like...
What is Vince McMahon's obsession with putting people's eyes out?
I don't know. Vince, because Ray still ain't got his eye back.
No, he still didn't. It's been well over 90 days.
Did the other one get his back? Aleister Black, well, he got his back.
He's still walking around looking like one of those blind ninjas or whatever. The drunken masters.
Looking like a pirate.
Yeah.
This show was slightly better than last week's show. Slightly better.
First hour was still dragged, but it picked up in the second and third hours. So
I'm pretty sure this is another one of those got rewritten day of episodes.
I don't even watch Raw anymore. I'm sorry. I just listen to the podcast, because why waste 3 hour life when I can just listen to it in 30 to 40 minutes?
Well, we appreciate that. We definitely appreciate that. Hope
you know. I look forward to SmackDown. I do watch SmackDown now.
Of course, you have to talk about it Sunday.
I usually watch it right before we record. I'm just saying, it's a much better show.
Yeah, it took a little while for SmackDown to refine itself, though.
Yeah, it did.
Because
when Shane running the show, it was like, okay, this is good, and then it lulled for a while. But now we're back. We got Roman. We got Binky. One of the Usos.
Kevin Owens.
KO, Brian, Daniel Bryan talking about fist me boys. I mean, it's great.
What?
Yeah, he said don't smoke that.
He said he won't, what did he say? Up with the smoke.
Up with the smoke, yeah. Up with the smoke.
Smack that fist.
And he put his he did one of the fist bumps. He's like, fist me boys. Like Kevin choked on his water. Yeah. Street Profits looked at him like, what?
Crazy.
We're waiting on Street Profits' response on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this match. Like, I'm looking forward to Street Profits in the New Day. I said on SmackDown podcast, I want more New Day and Street Profits. So
instead of pancakes, they're going to throw bottles.
I said, I wonder if Big E's going to have a part of this. Is he going to stand for them slandering his boys?
I wonder if we might be getting a heel turn. Cause I remember, I just know, I saw something that said Big E's getting a character change. So
I think Big E's going to challenge Roman for that title at some point.
He might be in the Survivor Series. He might be next on the SmackDown team for Survivor Series.
Big E and Keith Lee going up against each other for a brief second. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, you know, he like the big men slapping meat. You know, that's Big E's thing.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, Monday Night Raw was okay. Wasn't as good as some of the
other shows. It wasn't SmackDown.
No, it definitely
or NXT.
Be done with this retribution priority because this is really
well. Yeah,
they're done.
Yeah, they are done. They
who the hell is who is behind like the mid like who is Slapjack? Is that somebody that we would Slapjack know from NXT or no?
That's Shane Thorne.
Yeah, Shane Thorne.
Yeah, T Bar is Dominik Dijakovic.
Dijakovic. Yep.
Dijakovic.
Oh, Dijakovic is. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dominik. Yeah. I thought Dominik Dijakovic was hurt.
No, he was hurt, but you know he's back now. Mace is Theo Madden.
Okay, who's mouthwash?
Who?
You talking about Mace? That's Theo.
No, they got these stupid ass names like who's Q-Tip?
Sam.
No. Who's on first? Who's on second?
Corn Pop.
Awesome. Corn Pop.
Yeah, I don't
know. Who's the one
with
the
lame
mask? Who's that?
I don't know if Dio Madden is getting better or if he was just so bad that he's getting in the ring with better people, but it's one of those two things.
He just wanted to wrestle because that whole commentary thing was not working out for him.
Which one is Dr. Scholes?
Their loss is Samoa.
Which one is Dr. Who?
Y'all are a mess.
Samoa Joe is a gem on commentary, thankfully.
Yes.
Was his injury significant, or he's just that good on commentary? That I mean, I like him either way, whether he's in the ring or on commentary.
So remember, Samoa Joe had concussion issues, and
he got first. He got suspended for PEDs,
right?
Then he got concussion. Right. Yeah.
But then
That's what I was trying to remember of when Randy Orton was talking about the three most dangerous words in sports entertainment. PDE.
PDE. Randy Orton should have been gone from the company. But you know, he has a fan backstage. He has fans backstage.
Who, his wife?
No. Vince.
You know what?
I know.
Bob.
I was being facetious.
No, but Samoa Joe, he said he likes doing commentary. It gives him a different challenge. But he said his ring days are not behind him.
Oh, good, because I like Joe. I like heel Samoa Joe.
That's the same thing Taz told us too, right? Remember when he was on commentary and his wrestling days weren't behind us? What happened?
Well, he started calling matches.
He was like all these guys spent their years on the Indies and ROH and all them. They spent their best years there, and now they're here, and they're just getting hurt because they're so old.
Hey, this DDP, take up that DDP yoga.
Exactly. Like, look what it worked wonders for Jake the Snake, Razor Ramon. Who else?
Yeah, Jake is just slightly less racist now.
1%. 1%. 1%. Right, Greg? 1%.
We do have one more scoop.
Who else did the DDP yoga?
AJ Kevin Styles. Nash. AJ Styles for sure.
AJ Styles did DDP yoga.
Yeah, because AJ Styles' back was jacked up before he came to WWE.
Really?
Uh huh.
Now he just be saying racist shit on the mic, but okay.
Well, Randy Orton be dropping certain N words on Twitch.
Oh, really? Random. Was this before or after his Black Lives Matter?
This was before that.
Oh.
That's probably what led to that. He's probably How can I save my career? Oh, Black Lives Matter.
One more.
If it's the Aces, is forgive them.
From Talking Smack, Daniel Bryan basically said, "This is it. This is his last run." Now I don't know if this is like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 2 years, but he basically said, like, you know, after this contract is up, he's done. He's going to let these young boys have it, and hopefully he transitions to being one of the head guys in the back, because he's got a great mind for putting together matches and stuff too.
Oh yeah. But of course, y'all would have knew that if y'all listened to the Sound Matters podcast, because me and Don talked about that already. But cook on. Not y'all. I'm talking about the listeners. Paying them into listening to our podcast.
She's doing my promotion part for me, so I don't have to run down so much. Mm-hmm. Get to my shout outs.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lord Alfred Hayes voice. Enter here.
Yes.
All right, so at this time, I'm going to turn it over first and foremost to Magnum Prime for his shout-outs and thank yous.
And he stayed late.
Right, I was he sent a message saying, "I'm out."
I know.
He's so quiet, and his voice is so soothing. You just want to just keep talking, Greg.
It's difficult because the young fella is tuning the band upstairs, and I'm just wondering what type of stress he's putting my wife through. So shouts out to my family. My wife, she's the MVP of the show right now. And shouts out, of course, to just the entire crew for the WrestleCast. Y'all been holding it down, and it's always a pleasure to, you know, come by, chop up you all, and it's just a pleasure to see things are growing and the audience that's out there, and it's truly something special. And hopefully I'll be able to check in on you all from time to time, if my probation allows such interaction. But thank you for the opportunity. It's been a true pleasure.
Thank you, G. You know, we couldn't do this show without you. Definitely had to reach out and at least give you a chance to let the people hear from you once again, let them know that you're doing well. So glad that you could make it. Shout out to your family and your wife, especially for providing you a little bit of free time so you could chop it up with us here on this anniversary show. Next up, Miss J to the Max, your shout outs and thank yous, Miss.
Shout out to fellas for having me. I appreciate it. This was lovely. Shout out to this champagne I've been drinking during our celebration. And just thanks to the WrestleCast family. It's a pleasure always tweeting with everybody and coming on the podcast and sharing my thoughts. And, you know, one thing I mentioned a couple weeks ago when I met up with one of my Twitter friends who I've known for years, we finally met up in person. And it's really cool when you meet people on social media, they actually become friends. So consider our whole WrestleCast crew friends and really grateful for y'all.
Well, thank you, Miss J. We appreciate you too as well. Mr. Samuel Kalunga, sir, your shout outs and thank yous.
All right, shout out to you guys. Shout out to Jade. I haven't spoken to you on the mic in a very long time.
I know. That's why I appreciate it. And I knew you were going to kick it off with someone started with a 20-minute boring promo. I mean, I was waiting for it. So I appreciate it.
Shout out to Donna, shout out to Classic, of course. Shout out to Dee Dee, who's you know, TJP's gimmick is that he plays video games, but do y'all know what Dee Dee's gimmick is?
She's a grown ass woman.
She watches anime.
She's a grown ass woman.
She's a grown ass woman.
She watches anime and she likes K-pop.
Does she really?
Well, she
loves K-pop.
K-pop.
She likes K-pop, or she likes the dudes in K-pop?
No, she likes does. A lot of K-pop.
She likes K-pop. She loves K-pop.
Yeah.
She will randomly send me K-pop stuff, and I'm like, I don't get it. But I'm like, yeah, Dee Dee, okay. Because that's my girl. So, yeah. But yes, continue, sorry.
Let's see. Of course, check out this young lady's Twitch channel, OMGXNikki, with two eyes at the end. And you can check out her online store, Positive Vibes by Nikki, just one eye in that one, .com. So you can check that out as well. And I am out.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Samuel Kalunga, for joining us. And Mr. Mo to the _Reese, sir, your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Greg, Sam, Dawn, Dee Dee. Y'all, started this, had this thing running for six, for like, was it 2014.
Just say for the 99 and the 2000, and then people know what you mean.
And then, I had to threaten to get my way up on here and, some guest appearances later, here we are. Shout out to Jay. I think, did we do a show together once?
We did. I've done so many shows. Thank you, Don.
Yeah, we did a show together. We was co-hosted one time, shout out to everybody who be in the hashtags with us. I forgot already. Mr. Lizette. Yeah, Broadcast. Everybody who's down there with us. I forgot everybody's name.
It's okay. Just say the WrestleCast family. That's what I say.
Look, the WrestleCast, SmackDown Matters, NXT Cast. Y'all already know who y'all are.
I just appreciate everyone who retweets my stupid jokes when I do the hashtag.
So. Sandy just had me rolling. I just be like, man, this is great.
It's a good group. And I know. I'm sorry, Mo. Were you done with your?
No. You good.
I was gonna say something, but like Mo did in the dark match, I forgot. So.
Wow. Really?
Okay. No, I really did forget. I'm sorry. Oh, I remember now. Don, you should. Okay, this is gonna be a heavy lift, but I think at some point one day, you should just do the top 20 bits from the WrestleCast and just go through and pull out.
How many hours and hours?
Exactly. Don
by himself would have to go through.
You think he can pull that?
We would need to help him. Be like, hey, Don, remember that episode where I said this? And he'd be like, oh, shit. Hey, too bad you can't go through and just do a keyword search in
I still remember that time Jade muted somebody. I'm not going to say who, but.
Listen, I remember that time I fell asleep on the ladies' night WrestleCast, but we were done recording at that point. But I was tired and I was in grad school, and listen, I'd get a pass.
Hold on. I remember when V came on, he cut a 20-minute promo, and I was like, dude, you still talking? I was like, yo, he's still talking. I was like, I see what Sam mean about boring 20-minute promos. He was running, cutting one.
Okay, so then maybe that's better than
Dawn and Dee Dee to say, yeah, so let's get the show going. He's still talking.
Was somebody, I won't say who, but there was somebody who just went on and on, and me and Dee Dee were in the chat like, oh my God.
The chat's
that's
always.
That's what I was talking about.
See, okay, so maybe instead of Dawn having to do all those man hours of finding the bits, maybe we just do our best WrestleCast moment. We got a few from tonight. Just saying. Especially the very first one. It was eight of us on that podcast. I'm like, this is too much. And thankfully, Don, all right, we're just going to do you, Dee, one other person. It's just a lot when you have eight people.
Yes, same time. Everybody wanted to be a part of that initial Ladies Night WrestleCast, and it was a lot of fun sitting in the production chair.
Oh, my God. I remember.
Oh, Don has had some memorable. You mean Don sits in the production booth, drinks his beer, just laughs at us, and
He's like, laugh. I'm like, ha ha. I'm sitting here like, what? Y'all said this? Drinking. You can tell when the show goes off the rails.
Oh, that was all the time, which is why we haven't had a ladies' night in a while.
I was actually going to talk to you about that because we are overdue for one, so we need to set one up.
Yes. Oh, definitely set
Let's
that up.
Let's do a Christmas holiday edition. Everybody make their favorite holiday drink, and we'll have a ladies' night WrestleCast.
All right, we'll figure it out. We'll get together, me and you off air. But I'd like to give my shout outs and thank yous to Mo to the _ Reese, Miss J to the Max, Mr. Samuel Colunga, Magnum Prime, Miss Dee Dee Jonay, Rashani, Classic Materia, Tim Dog, Brent from Georgia, the WrestleCast OGs, just everybody who set the foundation for us and everybody who's joined us since. Thank you so much for these last 6 years. Hope we've been at the very least entertaining, at the most informative and fun. So here's to another 6 years. Sign up for the Patreon page over on patreon.com/CSPN Media, where you can hear me and Miss Simi, shout out to her, talk about AEW Dynamite. She also joins us on the NXT cast, so we can't forget about Miss Simi, our newest addition to the family.
Hey, Simi.
So, Miss Dee Dee Jonet, big shout out to her because, of course, she is the first lady of the WrestleCast.
Love Dee Dee.
So, we always give her her props. And just thank you guys for, like I said, always carving out some time for me each and every week so we can put these shows out and have a lot of fun. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have, providing,
of course,
pro wrestling commentary with color. So, on that note,
cheers. Drink again to that.
Cheers. So for Magnum Prime, Samuel Kalunga, Miss Jade to the Max, and Mo to the underscore Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been episode 289 of the WrestleCast.
Woo!
Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
And in just a few short weeks, it's that time of year again. That time of year when we get to see Raw in direct competition with SmackDown. I am talking about Survivor Series.
Ooh, yeah! Champions will take on...
Hey, your echo?
Huh?
Yeah.
Champions will take on...
Yo, we talked about this. You can't go full Dawkins.
Huh?
Half Dawk. I know he's
too much.
It's too much.
Okay. All right. Champions will take on champions, fam.
And that means that I finally have my opportunity to face King Corbin for the title of King.
Of the ring.
Oh, no, fam. We're taking on the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, fam.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there mm-hmm. it is.
That's
we look good. We do look good.
Yeah, fam.
And if that's the case, I guess there's really only one more thing to say.
We want the
We're not the only champions competing on Survivor Series, fam. No, the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka, is gonna beat the brakes off the new SmackDown Women's Champion, fam. I'm talking about Sasha Banks, fam.
And we also get to see the new WWE Champion, the Viper, Randall Orton, as he attempts to dethrone the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns.
Can't forget about the traditional men and women's Survivor Series tag team.
Don't forget the CEO of the Hurt Business, the almighty, the United States Champion, Bobby Lashley, will be bringing the Hurt to the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn. And for good measure, we got our sights set on those tag team champions.